The following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
She's got the news. She talks with newsmakers. She encourages us to laugh, and she cries with us. Speaking truth to power and questioning authority daily, it's the Nicole Sandler Show.
And it's a Monday, and it's a good day. Welcome to a brand new week. When last we spoke, it was Friday afternoon, and I was sort of a woman alone on an island with Decision Desk HQ as my official tally source, right? DecisionDeskHQ.com. I'm telling you, you can still go there and you can pull up, well, the entire country is there on a map, and you can pull up whatever state you want, whatever race you want, down from, you know, to see how the state did in the presidential race, or go down to an individual congressional race. You can pull up any race, congressional, Senate, presidential in the country. It's pretty awesome. So they called Arizona early on, like when the Associated Press did, when Fox Not News did. And so on Friday afternoon, when I was on the air, I was one of the only people saying, Biden-Harris win, because none of the other networks, or I should say none of the networks, called it that way, until Saturday afternoon. And on Saturday afternoon, shortly after, I think it was like 12 noon Eastern, well, this happened.
After four long, tense days, we've reached a historic moment in this election. We can now project the winner of the presidential race. CNN projects Joseph R. Biden Jr. is elected the 46th president of the United States, winning the White House and denying President Trump a second term. We're able to make this projection because CNN projects Biden wins Pennsylvania. The former vice president in his third run for the highest office, pulling off a rare defeat of a sitting commander-in-chief. With this victory, Kamala Harris is set to become the first woman and the first person of color to be the vice president. Again, CNN projects Joe Biden will become the 46th president of the United States. And Jake, he is now president-elect.
Yeah, baby. Sorry about the only one channel. I just so you know, I'm always working for you. Always, always working for you. And I really, I was tweaking the levels because here's my problem. Let's step away from the election for just a moment and give you some engineer talk. I send this stream out to a lot of different places. We go to my regular stream at NicoleSandler.com. I've got a tune-in channel. I've got a stream here, NicoleSandlerStream.com, where you can tune in at any time. Then there's another feed that goes to all the video streams, to YouTube and Facebook Live and Periscope and Twitch and all that. Then there's another one that goes out to Progressive Voices. Well, the thing is, when Progressive Voices, for some reason, is always at a very low level. I guess it's the way I connect to the network. And when I boost it high enough so that it sounds at a good level on Progressive Voices, I overmodulate on my streams and sometimes on the video streams. So I think I had it fixed, except for some reason, when I pull up audio from this one computer, it's only one channel. So I'm going to mess with that in a minute. Actually, this video I'm going to play for you is not going to give me a long enough time to play with that. I'll try to figure it out as we're going. But I do want to share this with you because on Saturday, you know, I was looking even after the networks called it and it was apparent that Donald Trump is going down. My usual suspects, my usual video producers, were taking their sweet time and coming up with something celebratory. Well, somebody who goes by the name of Cassette Boy obviously knew this day was coming and put together the most epic compilation. It is a parody of Beck's Loser. You know the song? In the time of Chip, you don't want me to sing it. I'm a loser, baby, so why don't you kill me? Yeah, you know, that song from Beck. Great, big hit from the 90s. And not only you did the music, but cut up the video. So if you're watching on video, you will enjoy this. And if you're just listening to the audio, you should enjoy it as well. I will post the video on the blog today at NicoleSandler.com/11-9-20. For all of our enjoyments, here we go. It is Cassette Boy and Trump.
Republicans are red, Democrats are blue. I'm Donald Trump.
And I'm fucking off
soon. The White House
will have a new president.
You know that it's true.
I've been mad without precedent. It's sad.
Because my madness
is evident.
And the coronavirus
endorsed me for president. Trump is going to win, and you're going to lose.
But that turned out to be fake news because I've left the country
broken
and tired. The American people
told me
you're fired. Wow. I've been shown the door.
I'm a loser.
Maybe Joe Biden
has killed
me. Wow. I've been shown the door.
I'm a loser.
Maybe Joe Biden
has killed
me.
Oh, my God. And that's it. It's just short and sweet, but it's so good because the video goes along with it. I think that's going to be my theme for a little while. There's a few other songs. I guess I can play this one. This will give me, a few more seconds to try to figure out my audio issue. So this guy's name is Tommy Edwards. And, well, he gave us a celebratory tune. Here we go.
America. Time to sing that beautiful song. It's a beautiful day in America. Trouble ain't gonna last long. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful day in America. Welcome back to USA.
Uh-oh, that was it.
Well, guys,
let's start over again.
Thing really worked out.
It's a beautiful day in America. Don't you want to sing and shout? It's a beautiful day in America. Yeah, we voted that asshole out. It's a beautiful day in America. Let me hear you sing and shout. It's a beautiful day in America. Trouble gonna be long gone. It's a beautiful day in America. Time to sing that beautiful song. It's a beautiful day in America. Trouble ain't gonna last long. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. It's a beautiful day. Yeah, yeah. It's a beautiful day in America. Welcome back to USA.
Yeah. All right. So there you go. That we got a full run through there. All right. Still don't know if I fixed the audio problem. I won't until I play sound from that other computer. And I guess I should start now because Saturday night, we finally heard from the president and vice president elect.
The people of this nation have spoken. They've delivered us a clear victory, a convincing victory, a victory for we the people. We've won with the most votes ever cast on a presidential ticket in the history of the nation. 74 million.
I'm going to try one more thing and see if this fixes the problem. Hold on as I quickly try to put a different plug. And someone's calling. I guess I can take a phone call. Hello, who's this?
Tyrone down in Virginia, man. I'm so happy that he won.
So am I.
So happy. But, you know, I like to say, man, don't say it unless it's true, because he was talking about he was going to go to court.
Yeah.
And he was going to get these lawsuits popping.
Yeah.
And I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to be another Bush 41, a Bush Gore 2.0, man.
Well, let me tell you what's happening now. Because it seems like the differences in the ballot counts and the vote counts are insurmountable. It was one thing when, 500 and some odd votes separated Bush and Gore in Florida. But in this case, we have like five states where the difference is just too great. However, don't underestimate the dirty tricks of Donald Trump and this Republican Party. Do you know what happened today? All of a sudden today, we hadn't seen Bill Barr in a few weeks, right? All of a sudden today, Bill Barr was seen entering and then leaving Mitch McConnell's office. Sure enough, an hour later, the Senate is now back in session for the first time since the election. Mitch McConnell goes on the floor of the Senate and starts in with the same nonsense that Donald Trump has been spewing. We're not going to recognize any. The election's not over until all the legal ballots have been counted. That same bullshit. And this leads me to believe that something ugly is up their sleeves.
Well, that's what I was thinking, man. Like, I was like, man, please don't call this unless you know for sure.
Yeah.
Because this was his plan all along. He was like, get all your voters out and vote on election day. And they came out in droves. And that's what he's saying. Well, I won by a lot because he won on that day. But the votes weren't counted in a lot of the major cities. And I happen to live in Charlottesville where, we had a candidate named Cameron Webb and he lost by a significant amount.
Yeah.
We thought we was going to get it, man, but this is a Republican stronghold. And the way they're talking about, and the way that some of the moderates are talking about AOC, I was very upset.
Yeah,
I'm mad at Abigail Spanberger, man. She's next door to me in the seventh. And I'm like, Chesterfield and West End of Henrico is the reason why you got in.
And what happened with Mo Davis? They elected that 25-year-old college flunk out nothing. What's his name? Caulfield or something? Madison Caulfield. Do you know about this guy?
Yeah, I know about him from down in North Carolina.
Oh, I thought
they elected him to office.
Unbelievable.
He's disabled.
You're in Virginia. I'm sorry. I'm a little all over the place today. Just craziness has happened. What happened, though, in the election, what's so weird is the Democrat that in Congress, we died. The only reason that Joe Biden won, I believe, is because so many people wanted Donald Trump the hell out of there. But the Democrats didn't do anything to get votes. I'm sorry, the Democrats lost seats in the House and the Senate, which should have been just a no-brainer takeover for the Democrats. We blew that one too, and now it all comes down to Georgia. Right now we're tied. I think it's 48-48 or something. It all comes down to these two Senate races that are going to be run on January 5th. It is John Ossoff against David Perdue, and it's Reverend Raphael Warnock against Kelly Loeffler. And this determines the balance of power in the U.S. Senate. This will determine if Joe Biden gets anything done or not, if we can save the Affordable Care Act, if we can save a woman's right to choose. I mean, anything and everything is going to come down to these two votes in Georgia. So if you know anyone in Georgia, we need to call them. We need to be all over Georgia for the next 6 weeks. So that's the state of that. I guess I lost our caller because I don't shut up. So that all happened today. But wait, there's more. Let me find this story. By the way, the person leading Donald Trump's legal team is a guy named David Bossie. He's the only non-lawyer in the group, but he is leading the post-election political and legal battles for Donald Trump. Well, it's even better. The president tapped him for the role last week, David Bossie, when his chief of staff, Mark Meadows, was diagnosed with the coronavirus. Well, yesterday, David Bossie tested positive too. Karma's a bitch, isn't it? God. But that legal team, I got to tell you, yes, someone, Diane Russell just said, but you still have to factor in the GOP rat fuckery, Nicole. And yes, here we go. Because this legal team, such as it is, led by two people with the COVID and Rudy Giuliani, who we'll get into Four Seasons in a minute, if I can do it without cracking up. Yeah, but they were able to somehow get the Pennsylvania Supreme Court to take up one of these bogus lawsuits. It's the one, Trump's voter count observer case. The trial court sided against Trump. The circuit court sided with Trump. So it goes to the Pennsylvania Supreme Court. The briefs have to be in by November 11th, which is a week from November 11th is Wednesday. Duh. And reply briefs are due by the 13th. So I learned about this again through Twitter, and a guy named Mike Sachs Esquire. He's a lawyer. MikeSachsesq on Twitter, who said the lawsuits are no more than translations into legalese of Trump's tweets from the past 6 months seeking to undermine public confidence in the election results. Should he be and now has been defeated? Okay, so the official I don't know legalese, I'm not a lawyer, but order from the court is out. And it says, comments, and now this, the ninth day of November 2020, the petition for allowance of appeal is granted on the following issues: whether as a matter of statutory construction pursuant to Pennsylvania law, the Commonwealth Court erred in reversing the trial court, which concluded that petitioner City of Philadelphia Board of Elections regulations regarding observer or representative access complied with applicable election code requirements. How does anybody read legalese like this? I'm a smart enough person, but I could never be a lawyer because I can't grok shit like this. Number two, whether the issue raised in petitioner's petition for allowance of appeal is moot. Number three, which I think has an important point in it, says, if the issue raised in petitioner's petition for allowance of appeal is moot, does there remain a substantial question that is capable of repetition, yet likely to evade review and thus fall within an exception to the mootness doctrine? And then it says, this grant order should not be viewed as a stay on the ongoing processing and counting of ballots. And by the way, two justices, including the Chief Justice of the Pennsylvania Supreme Court, dissented. And I really don't know what that means. But let me put it in this perspective for you. Here's how the totals stand in the states that are still being counted. Okay. Biden's current lead over Trump in Georgia is 10,621 votes. In Arizona, it's 17,131 votes. In Wisconsin, it's 20,539. In Pennsylvania, it's 36,186. No, I'm sorry. That's in Nevada. 36,186. In Pennsylvania, it's 40. I don't know. I'm all screwed up here. The way this is written, Georgia, 10,000, Arizona, 17,000, Wisconsin, 21,000, Nevada, 36,000, Pennsylvania, 45,000, Michigan, 147,896 votes. Bush's 2000 lead over Al Gore in Florida was 537 votes. That's the difference. We're talking many, many tens of thousands in these states that are outstanding. And, you know, once they got the bulk of the votes counted, Trump was never in the lead. So this is the game or the totals. I shouldn't try to do a sports analogy. I don't know sports. But you know, now I mentioned the two runoffs in Georgia. The reason that those two elections are going to a runoff on January 5th is because neither David Perdue, who beat John Ossoff, or Reverend Warnock, who beat who beat Kelly Loeffler, neither of the winners got above 50%. If you don't get over 50% of the vote, it goes to a runoff. So today, anything they can do to play dirty pool, they do. The two Republican senators, Perdue and Loeffler, are calling on Georgia's Republican Secretary of State to resign because they believe, without any evidence whatsoever, that he, quote, failed to deliver honest and transparent elections. Are you fucking kidding me? Really? Well, Georgia's Republican lieutenant governor was on CNN this morning, and here's what he had to say.
Gabriel Sterling, who is a Republican voting systems manager of Georgia, says, quote, we're not seeing any widespread irregularities in terms of the vote counting there. What reason do you have to doubt that?
This is the lieutenant governor.
My office has been in close communication with the Secretary of State's office and the Attorney General's office, and made sure that if there's any sort of systemic examples of fraud or voter disenfranchisement across the voting base, to let us know. We've not had any sort of credible incidents raised to our level yet, and so we'll continue to make sure that the opportunity to make sure every legal ballot is counted is there. But at this point, we've not seen any sort of credible.
Ask him again.
That's interesting. And just to be clear, I think everyone on earth agrees that they want every legal ballot counted, and
That's right.
That's every single American wants that. But the question is, and I think you just said this clearly, and I'll just ask you to say it again, you haven't seen any evidence of any widespread systemic
fraud
or irregularities?
Nope.
We've not seen any get to our office yet, and certainly we'll make sure that every sort of legal opportunity to make sure that that's, if there's an issue out there, we want to make sure we understand it, investigate it, and be able to make sure that we're able to rectify it.
But there hasn't been any, correct?
Hasn't been any.
We've not had any get to our office yet.
Not have any get to our office yet. I guess he had to throw in the yet. But there you go. He's the Republican lieutenant governor of Georgia. This is a farce. But if Bill Barr and Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump and the other complicit Republican members of the United States Senate and the House of Representatives join together to steal this election after we know it has been legitimately won by the Democrats, then Houston, we've got a problem. We have more than a problem. And the incompetence of this Trump team is just astounding. I just have to read this to you, because if I paraphrase it, it just... you might know that right around the time that the networks called the race on Saturday for Biden-Harris, Donald Trump's legal team, led by the intrepid attorney Rudolph Giuliani, held their little press conference. Apparently, they had asked an intern or a staffer or somebody to work it out with the Four Seasons in Philadelphia to hold their press conference there, and so he did. Somebody called the Four Seasons and made a reservation. By the way, it is Four Seasons Total Landscaping, not the Four Seasons Hotel. And the thing is, whoever took the reservation at Four Seasons Total Landscaping, I'm in love with, because they didn't bother to say, I think you have the wrong place. We're Four Seasons Total Landscaping, not Four Seasons Hotel and Resort. But they didn't. So Rudy and company showed up outside this strip mall outside of Philadelphia, at Four Seasons Total Landscaping, right next door to an adult film store, as some news outlets called it, a dildo store. Although I, unless they went in, I don't really know. they're capitalizing on this. Here, Four Seasons Total Landscaping is a family-owned small business run by lifelong Philadelphians. We were honored to be asked to host a press conference at our facility. We thank all of those that have shown support for our business. And while we understand the negative comments, it saddens us that we've received such harsh judgment. Our team at Four Seasons would have proudly hosted any presidential candidate's campaign at our business. We strongly believe in America and in democracy. We hope that our fellow Americans can join together and support all local small businesses during this time. They get the prize. They get, and there was, I saw something from them that was just so, so perfect. And, I need to find a better way to keep track of my favorite tweets, because this was just, it was just too good. I don't know where it is. But there's all kinds of other stuff going on, too. I guess I should do like a quick, a lightning round? Because there's so much stuff. First of all, I guess we can say rest in peace to Alex Trebek. I never met Alex Trebek. I was never on Jeopardy. I was on Rock and Roll Jeopardy, and I won, and it was done on the Jeopardy set. But Alex Trebek has hosted Jeopardy for, 800 years or something. But I'm old enough to remember Art Fleming, which was the daytime Jeopardy. Alex Trebek has been the host on nighttime Jeopardy. He lost his battle with pancreatic cancer, which is also what killed Ruth Bader Ginsburg, which is also what killed my friend Joel Silberman, which is also what kills so many people. Sad loss. Apparently, they are they've got taped shows to run through December 25th. The transition, Joe Biden is working on his transition team. Today they announced 13 members of a coronavirus task force. You know, this is what normally happens after an election. We are now in the period known as the interregnum. In other words, Donald Trump's lame Donald Duck session. And in a normal democracy, or in the United States at any other time in history, this transition period, the incoming administration works with the outgoing administration for a smooth transfer of power. Well, this time they're refusing to admit defeat, to concede that they lost the race, and the administrator of the nonpartisan, what's supposed to be nonpartisan, General Services Administration, a woman named Emily Murphy, who was a Donald Trump appointee in 2017. Oh, you know what? I'm wrong. It's the Presidential Transition Center that's nonpartisan. I guess the General Services Administration is as partisan as whatever administration holds office. So they have this woman, Emily Murphy, who in normal times would just sign the official paperwork giving the incoming transition team access to government officials as well as the money they need to get their work done and office space. But here we are. It's Monday, almost a week after Election Day. It's days after the election's been called, and the current GSA administrator, a woman named Emily Murphy, will not give the go-ahead for the transition team to start their work. So I think she'd like to hear from you, because she is on Twitter, at GSA Emily. Have at it. It's unbelievable. All right, I told you about the Georgia Republican candidates who are now wanting the Republican Secretary of State to step down because they didn't do their bidding. He didn't do their bidding well enough. I told you the COVID Trump Biden's putting together his COVID task force. Well, two more members of another member of Biden's, of Trump's cabinet. This time it is the director of Housing and Urban Development, Dr. Ben Carson, has the Rona. Ben Carson has the coronavirus. Oh my God. Couldn't happen to a nicer guy. All right. There's more news. What can I get to you? You know what? I played a little bit of Joe Biden, of his speech Saturday night. Finally, when after the networks called it, we heard from Joe Biden. We won the biggest vote count in history. More people voted against Donald Trump in this election than voted for him in 2016. That said, more people voted for him in 2020 than voted for him in 2016, too. Just a lot of people came out this time to vote. And the beautiful thing is the way this was unheard of. Never, and I didn't realize, never before in American history was there celebrating such as there was last night. In fact, oh shit, I can't play this whole thing. This is too long. Don Lemon told the story on the air about how, you know what, I think it's the beginning. Let me just play the beginning of this, because he talks about falling asleep in a hotel room after working for days and days and days and waking up 40 stories up above the street and hearing cheering.
It's, I almost can't talk right now because of the emotion. That we will get to, so I'm not sure how much I want to say right off the top. But yeah, you know, I've said all along, we have two viruses that's infecting this country, and that's COVID and racism. And what we witnessed tonight was the complete opposite of racism, with the diversity, with the acknowledgement of all kinds of people, with someone saying they want to represent every kind of American, even the people who didn't vote for him.
Yeah.
We have been starving for that in this country, and it has nothing to do with being a Democrat or a Republican,
okay,
or being conservative or independent or liberal. It's about human decency. So I have to be quite honest with you. The entire day, I was asleep because we got off the air at, what, 7 this morning? I forget. It's been going back and forth, 7, 8, 9. We got off the air at 7 o'clock this morning. I went and had breakfast with my fiance, right? I'm a black man, a gay American. I live in New York City. When I had breakfast with my fiance, I haven't had time to that much time.
We're getting
to spend
there,
with him.
Right?
We had breakfast. I went home. I went to sleep. I am staying in a hotel because of these crazy hours, not far from here. I heard, I'm on the 40th floor, Chris. I heard people cheering 44 floors below me.
Wow.
And I woke up and I said, what is going on? And I opened the drapes. And I could see the city around me. People were cheering in New York City. I turned the television on, and there were my colleagues announcing that Joe Biden had become the president-elect of the United States. And not to forget, Kamala Harris, the first black woman. I didn't expect to be so overwhelmed by that. I didn't realize the PTSD that many marginalized people, that African Americans, women, Latinos, people of color, all can.
You know, he went on like that for like 7 minutes, so I'm not going to play the whole thing. I just want you to hear 40 stories up in the hotel room. He heard the cheering from the street below. This is unprecedented. And what all the experts say, this is what happens in dictatorships when they throw the autocrat out of office, when they throw the dictator out of office, this is how the population reacts. This is PTSD. On Saturday afternoon, about an hour or two after it was official, as official as we can get without the fucking Republican Party agreeing to the rule of law, I all of a sudden hit a wall and was exhausted, and I slept. I slept hard for 2 or 3 hours. I took a good nap, and you may know I don't sleep well at night. I swear, I feel like this huge, heavy weight has been lifted off my shoulders, knowing that we've got 72 days with him left, and hopefully, you know, he'll run his mouth off. He'll kick and scream. He'll be the baby that he is. And then he'll just go to Mar-a-Lago or somewhere and just go away.
I'm not a baby.
You are a baby. All you did was kick and scream. And then today he fires his Secretary of Defense, Mark Esper. The Associated Press tweeted out, President Trump's firing of Defense Secretary Mark Esper is an unprecedented move by a president struggling to accept election defeat and angry at a Pentagon leader he believes wasn't loyal enough. Okay, that's interesting. For the Associated Press to write it that way, but he's a baby throwing a temper tantrum. And apparently Esper is concerned that Donald Trump will next fire Christopher Wray, the director of the FBI, and Gina Haspel, the director of the CIA, because it's all vindictive stuff. He thinks these people aren't sufficiently in his corner enough, which is why you see the sycophants like Lindsey Graham and the rest of them, carrying his water. It's unbelievable. It's just unbelievable. The only Republicans who spoken out, who congratulated Joe Biden and Kamala Harris on a victory. Let me see if I can remember this. Susan Collins, Lisa Murkowski, Ben Sasse, and there was one other. Oh, I can't think who it was. And the rest of them are just silent because they're so afraid of him. I don't know. I don't know what it is. But obviously they have to realize that he's not the beloved figure for at least half the country. And granted, I get that 70 million people voted for him. Actually, I don't get it. I do not understand it whatsoever. I just don't. By the way, Trump fired Mark Esper. Of course he did, by tweet. Let me read to you this. During the height of the protests this summer, right, Black Lives Matter protests, Trump threatened, you'll remember this, Trump threatened to deploy active duty troops to quell the demonstrations. Esper, Secretary of Defense, responded by holding a press conference at the Pentagon announcing his opposition to deploying troops. The public split reportedly angered baby Donald so much that he had to be talked out of firing Esper then. So on Thursday, after it was common knowledge that Trump was losing, the networks hadn't called it yet, of course, but we saw the writing on the wall, reports surfaced that Mark Esper had written a letter of resignation so that when the hammer came, he'd be ready. Because that's how it works. They give, you know, they tell you, we would like your letter of resignation rather than just firing you. I don't know why they don't just get fired, because then you get to collect unemployment. If you quit, you don't, right? I don't know how it works at the upper echelons of the cabinet, and whether or not you have a contract and you're paid out on your contract if you leave or fired. I don't know. But either way, Donald Trump today tweeted, quote, I am pleased to announce that Christopher C. Miller, the highly respected director of the National Counterterrorism Center, unanimously confirmed by the Senate, will be acting Secretary of Defense effective immediately. And it was a series of tweets, I guess. It was a twit storm. And then he said, Chris will do a great job. Mark Esper has been terminated. I would like to thank him for his service. I can't wait till this guy is gone. I just cannot wait till he's gone. By the way, remember a couple of weeks ago, I had this great doctor on the air, Eric Ding, Dr. Ding. He's on Twitter, Dr. Eric Ding. Well, he just tweeted out, tally, 50 positive 6-week White House orbit. 50 people in Trump's immediate vicinity in the White House have tested positive. And I guess we're going backwards. Carson, Ben Carson, we learned about today. Mark Meadows and four aides. Short, four Pence aides. Hope Hicks. Donald and Melania and Barron Trump. Scalia, Miller, two military aides. Four White House press aides. Ray, McEnany, Conway, Lori, Christie, Lee, Tillis, Johnson, McDaniel, Jenkins, Steppy, and Luna, one junior staffer, three reporters, 11 debate staff. Oh, and by the way, since I'm doing the lightning round here, Rudy Giuliani at his little thing at the Four Seasons landscaping, not only was in next door to an adult film store, on the other side was a crematorium. And the person that he brought up to speak is a convicted sex offender who's been arrested for exposing himself to two girls, ages 7 and 11. Why is this still under discussion? Why are we still even paying him any lip service? Why are the fucking networks going along with this farce? Apparently, Steve Kornacki on MSNBC a little while ago, according to Digby, let me see if I can find Digby's tweet now. She was just incredulous. I didn't see it myself, but hold on. I'll tell you what Digby wrote, because it sounded like she was kind of pissed. Okay, she wrote, dun-dun-dun. I should play the Jeopardy music. Why is this not opening for me? Okay, come on, Digby. Okay, she said, I guess she's been busy today because I can't find it. Okay, Kornacki just said that while Biden won the popular vote decisively, it's over 4 million votes. He's closing in on 5 million vote lead. It's not a contest. Back to this. So Kornacki said that while Biden won the popular vote decisively, he won by, quote, a whisker in some battlegrounds. So it really was super close. And then Digby commented on that. No, many have won the Electoral College with narrow margins in some states. We don't call that close, especially with a huge popular vote. And then she wrote, we've got to stop this. There is no horse race in this point. Biden won a decisive victory in both the popular vote and the Electoral College. And just because Trump is having a tantrum doesn't change that. And yet, boy, some of the networks are just so quick to fold, to go along with his nonsense. By the way, did you see the stock market today? Let me see how high it closed. It was up at one point, like almost 2,000 points. It closed up 834.57. Analysts are saying it's on the strength of two things. They say a lot of it has to do with the news about the vaccine, which is pretty amazing. Here's the news. Again, there's just so much going on today. Pfizer, a trial for a COVID-19 vaccine developed by Pfizer and BioNTech. We learned from this new study today is, quote, strongly effective. The company said an early analysis of the results showed that individuals who received two injections of the vaccine 3 weeks apart experienced more than 90% fewer cases of symptomatic COVID-19 than those who received a placebo. For months, researchers have cautioned that a vaccine that might be only 60 or 70% effective is the one we'd wind up with. They're finding 90%. Again, it's early. They're not ready to ask for an emergency relief injunction. Mike Pence tried to take credit for it today. It's like this public-private partnership. Woo! And everyone said, not so fast. Pfizer said, hell no. We didn't take your money. Yeah. They say, here. Here. Operation Warp Speed. This is just typical. It's like the Four Seasons. It's like everything else Trump sticks his nose in that he's so ill-prepared for and unqualified for. He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing, nor do the very great people he surrounds himself with. Operation Warp Speed, the federal effort to rush a vaccine to market, has promised Pfizer $1.95 billion to deliver 100 million doses to the federal government, which will be given to Americans free of charge. But Pfizer's senior vice president, Katherine Janssen, sought to distance the company from Operation Warp Speed and presidential politics, noting that the company, unlike the other vaccine frontrunners, did not take any federal money to help pay for research and development. She said, we were never part of the Warp Speed. We've never taken any money from the U.S. government or from anyone. So here the New York Times writes, why Pence and Pfizer are framing this differently? Warp Speed has promised $2 billion to Pfizer to buy doses when they're ready, an advanced purchase deal. Administration counts this in Warp Speed's umbrella. But unlike other Warp Speed companies, Pfizer didn't take the money. So Mike Pence is embarrassed. Donald Trump trying to take credit for something he didn't do. How familiar does that sound? And here we go again. In other news, I really should wait till Thursday for this one, but I have to say it. The chairwoman of the DCCC, the Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee, the person responsible for, okay, Marvin's link doesn't work. Shoot. Hold on. Let me, I got to send him another link. I'll tell you what, while I do that, Sherry Bustos is stepping down. She barely eked out her victory, and now she's stepping down. I love it when that happens. All right. I don't know why his thing's not working. I'll tell you what. Let me play this lovely spot from the Midas Touch. And while that's playing, I will connect with our guest because we have a treat coming up for you. So stick around. Enjoy this from the Midas Touch.
I believe that we will win.
Joseph R. Biden Jr. is elected the 46th president of the United States.
America spoke and we made history. Can you feel my body shaking?
Marched and organized for equality and justice for our lives and for our planet. And then you voted.
Spread the faith. God love you all. May God bless America and may God protect our church.
Now I can't get enough.
The nightmare's over. And we can finally exhale, ending Trump's grifting regime. His fraudulent schemes all fail. A feeling broken, the nation's tired. Voters have spoken, the tyrant must be fired. The nightmare's over, grown-ups in charge finally, and it's so awesome to see our Madam VP make real history. Now we must look out, still work to do, but we'll get that crook out. The nightmare's over, it's really over.
Souls, the sounds of despair from former radio personalities languishing in the purgatory of corporate consolidation. These former radio personalities have lost their livelihoods, not because they weren't entertaining or informative, but because they don't meet today's corporate terrestrial broadcast standards of being smelly, overweight douchebags, seething with vein-popping hatred. These radio refugees and their audiences have since migrated to the internet, but their struggle continues as the quest for monetization ensues. Nicole Sandler is leading the way to reestablishing thought-provoking and entertaining radio. And you can help by clicking the donate button on NicoleSandler.com. Donate today, or as much and as often as you can. Dry the tears of listeners by removing the rotting stench of corporate radio. Won't you help?
We could all use some healing these days, so we turn to the power of music. Each Monday, we welcome another artist to share some songs and stories as the Nicole Sandler Show presents the Monday Music Sunset Sessions.
Ah, well, it took a little doing, but we're here, and I'm thrilled to welcome Marvin Etzioni to the show. Now, Marvin and I go way, way, way back. Haven't seen each other in probably over 20 years until just recently.
Does time go backwards for you? How does that happen? You look 20 years younger.
Right.
What happened? Yeah. How'd you do that?
Music. It's rock and roll keeps me
young. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So Marvin Etzioni is a founding member of the legendary LA-based band Lone Justice. It's been a while since you and Maria made music, but your Lone Justice lives on. Marvin is gone.
What's really interesting about Lone Justice, in the last 2 or 3 years, I don't know if you know about this, Nicole, but I in 1983, before I joined the band, I had produced some recordings, and Omnivore Recordings put them out as an EP. And literally over 35 years later, just in the last year, Rolling Stone put one of the songs that I wrote, Working Late, in their new songs, top 10 songs to look at. And they had all the other artists were contemporary artists.
And they had an old song of yours.
Yeah. And so I kind of think that that's what Lone Justice represents. Like, this is, you know, like if a brand new band came out and sounded just like Lone Justice did in 1983, they would do really good.
I guess so. Because some music is timeless. You know, some of it is very dated, but some of it is timeless. And I find that the really good music is timeless. So Marvin Etzioni, in the years since Lone Justice, you've been making your own music. You're also known as the Mandolin Man. You've been producing others' music. You've been keeping busy all these years, and you've got a brand new album out. Called What's the Mood of the Country Now? Right? Do I have that right?
You got it.
What's the Mood of the Country Now? And it's a perfect record for the times we're living in. But actually, you wrote that title track back right after 9/11, didn't you?
That's correct. Yeah. My note to myself was I called it 9/13, you know, because I wrote it 2 days after 9/11. And that really was the catalyst. It's like, you know, I really need to work on a record that has a political overtone to it. But it took me all these years to kind of culminate them, and it was the right thing at the right time, you know. So I'm excited about the results this weekend. And, I had banked everything on this record for this weekend.
Here you go.
But I hope that, you know, no matter... I have to be honest that I know friends of mine that didn't vote.
Really?
One friend of mine voted for a third party for JoJo.
Oh, God.
And so whether you've over almost 40% of the people in the country didn't vote. And so my message is no matter who you voted for and if you didn't vote, it's about the music. It's about the songs, and it's about the time, the timelessness of it. And that's really about, that's what the connection is about.
Well, first of all, let me just say to those who didn't vote, you should have voted. And if you voted for a third party candidate, I was going to play something else. If you voted for a third party candidate, then I have a little song for you. It goes something like this, Marvin.
First of all,
whoops. No, it goes like this. I'm a little slow on the uptake today, but okay, you know, because right. There was so much at stake. I guess the good news is it looks like we're getting rid of Donald Trump. But seriously, I don't know how anyone could sit this one out or not be involved, or worse yet, vote for the Orange Menace. There's so much at stake with this election, and we really, the Democrats did us no favors. They did not win. This was not a landslide for the Democrats. This was a mandate to get rid of Donald Trump, but the Democrats didn't pick up seats in the House or win back the Senate. There's a chance we could tie,
we'll find out. Yeah.
But I think this is everyone's duty. Anyway, I bemoan the fact constantly that there's really not a lot of great protest music out there. I wouldn't call this record, What's the Mood of the Country Now, a protest record, but it does tap into everything we've been feeling for the last, not only 4 years, but really since 9/11. So I'll tell you what, Marvin Etzioni's with us. I want to play a song while we're still on Progressive Voices so that the people there get to hear it. And then stick around because we'll do a little bit of overtime. If anyone wants to stick with us, come to NicoleSandler.com or just listen at NicoleSandlerStream.com. But in the meantime, let's listen to a song from the new album from Marvin Etzioni, What's the Mood of the Country Now? And this one, you want to tell us a little bit about Here Comes America?
Well, Here Comes America, I started writing that song during the Iraq War. And I wanted to create a positive protest song. The last line I wrote for the song was without war in your eyes. And that's really what I hope for all of us on how we can get through these times. And so many people have heard the song and responded as if I'd written it for what exactly we're going through right now. I'm glad that it's being taken that way. I just got an email yesterday that it just went number one on a UK chart.
Nice.
Which is exciting. And the response has been great on the song, and a special shout out to my friend Cy Smith, who sings the song with me, who's such a brilliant singer and artist in her own right. And just real quick, Don Heffington on drums and David Leach on percussion, and Zach Baird and my right hand Adam Pike for the mix. And we did the vocals with my friend Jeff Peters. So I'm just surrounded. And Mike Bosey, who mastered Kendrick Lamar, he mastered the album. Mm-hmm. So it's such a great team, a beautiful collection of people. And so that's Here Comes America.
Let's listen to it. Here Comes America, Marvin Etzioni on the Nicole Sandler Show. Whoops, we're going to do it. Actually, let me do this.
Okay.
Oh, my goodness. And we'll play it from here. Here we go. All right. It away, Marvin.
Here comes America. The one we've been waiting for, my friend. Here comes America. Future of freedom is in your hands.
I wish I could go along for the ride
and keep my mouth.
But I'm not willing to pay the price
on the damage that's been done with that war in your eyes.
Here comes America. We've been been waiting for my friend. Here comes America, the future of freedom is in your hands, in your hands. Whatever you dream,
you can do,
you can do,
begin it.
Begin it now.
With your heart. Mm-hmm.
With your spirit. Mm-hmm.
With your soul.
Marvin Etzioni.
All right.
Here Comes America. From the new album, What's the Mood in the Country Now? That sounds great, Marvin. Really good.
Thank you. Yeah.
So we're gonna try to do this. We're going to chat, around the end of the show on Mondays.
Okay.
We'll talk. We'll see what's happening in the world. There is a connection. There is a coming together between the world of music and art and politics, because it's life. It's what we're living. And it's important that we all stay. I think the reason that people don't vote is because they're not involved. They think it doesn't affect them. And actually what our elected officials do affects every aspect of our lives. Tomorrow, in case you didn't know, tomorrow is November 10th. The Supreme Court is hearing the Trump administration's challenge to the Affordable Care Act. Because they haven't taken enough insurance away from people yet, they're going tomorrow to argue before the Supreme Court that what's left of it should be overturned. Now, as somebody who's self-employed and a cancer survivor, this is the only way I have health insurance. Without the Affordable Care Act, I'm uninsurable. So much is on the line. So much is on the line with this election. And now we're dealing with the consequences of it. And I just hope that Amy Coney Barrett, who the Republicans again shoved through the Supreme Court at literally the 11th hour, could be the key to making sure we don't have health insurance when there's a global pandemic going on.
Yeah, we have an opportunity that just because the politicians aren't talking about music, sometimes the artists have to talk about politics for a moment.
Absolutely.
And encourage each other. Please register to vote and be ready for the next election, because it's coming up. And
well, we're there. January 5th, because the next election is the two runoffs in Georgia.
That's right.
That will determine the balance of power in the Senate.
In Georgia.
Which means if the two Democrats win those races on January 5th in Georgia, then it'll be, I believe, a 50-50 tie, which means the party, the vice president is the tiebreaker. With Kamala Harris as vice president, the Democrats have a majority in the Senate. We'll be able to get stuff done. We'll be able to deal with climate change. We'll be able to deal with health care. We'll be able to deal with COVID, will be able to get relief. But if the Republicans retain control of the Senate and Mitch McConnell calls the shots, we're screwed.
Well, tell you what, first couple people that, get in touch with you, I'll send them a promo CD if they promise that they're going to register to vote. But this is only for people in Georgia. If you're listening in Georgia.
I think anybody listening to this show is already registered to vote.
Okay, I hope so.
If you want to give away a couple of CDs, we can do that, though. So say the first two people who send me an email, Nicole@NicoleSandler.com, Marvin will send you a copy of the new CD.
I'll write a note of thank you to you, and thanks for listening to Nicole's show. We do go back a ways, and it's so great to reconnect with you. And I'm so glad that we're aligned politically and musically and philosophically. It's so fantastic.
You and me both. I want to get into in coming weeks, we'll both, you know, play more songs from the record and talk about, you know, some of the artists you've worked with and what they're doing.
Right.
And I know there's a lot of stuff happening now. And right now is a really tough time for musicians because there's no touring right now.
Yeah.
So, you know, we got to find a way to keep you guys occupied and making money.
Sounds good.
All right. Marvin Etzioni, great to see you. I'll talk to you next week.
Okay, sounds good.
Okay, bye.
Adios.
Bye. And then, for everybody else, tomorrow, you know, is Tuesday, so Got a Laugh will be here. We've got, we'll have fun, I promise. And hopefully the news will be good and Donald Trump will stop the nonsense and we can get on with, you know, life and a new administration and good change. And healing and celebrating. All right. And for those who say we shouldn't be celebrating, fuck that. Celebrate. Dance in the streets. We deserve it. We've lived through 4 years of hell. And I want it to be over. All right. Thanks for listening, everyone. We'll see you tomorrow. Be good.